time, weather, and
highways.
Veteran of three foreign wars, entrepreneur, and warrior poet, Tony Arterburn takes on the issues facing our country, civilization, and planet. This is the Arterburn Radio Transmission.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? What is our common bond truly? Freedom. Freedom. Without freedom, you can't be a Christian no matter what denomination you belong to. You can't be a Buddhist. You can't own a donut shop. You can't drive from here to Oregon. You can't be an American, because that's what it's all about, and that's the only thing that it's all about. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's about freedom.
$1 trillion in debt every 90 days. We're adding $1 trillion in debt in the United States of America every 90 days, ladies and gentlemen. And it took us from 1776 to the mid-1980s to reach $1 trillion in national debt. Now we add it every 90 days. But don't worry. The financial wizards are in control. They've got you. All the people on the mainstream media, the teleprompter readers, the financial experts, they've all got your back. Don't worry. Everything is going to be fine. I'm Tony Arterburn, and this is the Arterburn Radio Transmission. I'm broadcasting to you from deep within the heart of Texas with my 12.5-pound Chihuahua mix from the mean streets of San Antonio. Beans the Brave is here. We're broadcasting in defiance of globalist goblins, the neocons, the New World Order, the Build Back Better, Biden, Beelzebub, Baphomet, Bilderberg, Bohemian Grove, Bankster Bunch. It is the 14th of March, 2024, to mark the time. I saw a meme before I went live, and it said, on this day, March 14th, Karl Marx gave humanity a great gift by dying. His main contribution was dying on March 14th, apparently. I didn't know that. It's usually some of the stuff that will stick out in my mind, but I had not remembered that reading biographies on the great economist Karl Marx, who's influenced so many of our elite and the little satanic minions they have in the Marxist revolutions. Well, we're going to get into some headlines today. I just got done with the David Knight Show. I welcome all the David Knight listeners. If you've come over to the stream, I appreciate you following. We're streaming on my X or Twitter or whatever it is now. And I at Tony Arterburn on rockfin.com, on the America Unplugged channel, and of course, freeworld.fm. If you haven't checked out Free World, go check it out. It's a labor of love, and it's a group effort. We're building a free speech platform. We're building a lifeboat for, gosh, it's needed. We have a lifeboat for free speech. This has been the battle for many, many years now, ever since they've created these DARPA-funded tech platforms that aren't organic. Things like Facebook, where, the day that LifeLog went offline, which was funded by Incutel, when it went offline, Facebook went online the next day. So all these coincidences, right? They create these platforms for you to go and open up accounts and talk to other people until you have the wrong think, and then they delete you. So we're on the cusp of another censorship wave by the powers that be. And this time, our friends, the Republican Party leading the way in censorship. Of all the things you could ban, of all the things you could get together on and take out, it's TikTok. It's TikTok, folks. Let me see if I can find the story on TikTok. This is an absolute insanity. We've got so many problems in this country. We're losing the world's reserve currency status. We've got the possibility of multi-front wars. We've got a border that's an absolute travesty. It's a crime. It's weaponized. We've got weapons of mass immigration. And the best these people can do is ban TikTok. This is the clown world. This is the clown world that we're in. And it seems like there's, you know, we're all having to debate it now. So like you throw it out there, like, should it be banned? I don't know. I mean, it's got some, our kids are watching TikTok. Really? Is that the reason that there's something wrong with our children? Is it because of TikTok? Or is it because of our culture? Is it, you know, do we value life in this country when our leaders are bloodthirsty? Both parties just got to have war, whether it's the right that's got to get over into the Middle East. We just got to make that a parking lot. I used to hear that when I got back from Iraq. I'd go to the church and hear people talk about, well, just, you know, going to make it a parking lot. Oh, so genocide? Aren't you a Christian? I don't think Jesus was in any way ever advocating the mass extermination of people. Where did I miss that? If you wonder why people are leaving the church, you know, we're going to just wasteland it. Got to defend Israel. Okay, that's one way to look at it. And then you got the other side that says, well, you know, Putin, he's a fascist, he's right wing. We got to fly the rainbow flag, and nuclear weapons, it doesn't matter. You know, let's just let the chips fall where they may. We'll use every weapon at our disposal to make sure that that rainbow flag flies somewhere. We're going to plant that in Russia. That's the extent of the left. So now you have, you know, they figured out the Goldilocks wars for the United States. You know, on one demographic, you get the Middle East, and the other demographic, you get Eastern Europe. And they both agree that we got to have violence. We have to expend our blood and treasure. Well, not their kids, you know, not the people that advocate the war, but your kids and people that are in the military, that's your family. You know, just while we lose the country in other ways, we lose the country by the border. We lose it in a death by a thousand cuts of our speech. But by all means, Republican Party, GOP, ban TikTok. This is Zero Hedge. House passes TikTok divestment bill. Let's see if I can put this up on the screen. You know, if you live long enough to get to see stuff like this, and they actually try to make it legitimate. Massey, Musk rail against Trojan horse with First Amendment implications. You think so? There were 15 Republicans who voted against it and 50 Democrats. It heads to the Senate next week, where it already enjoys the support of Senate Intel Chair Mark Warner and Vice Chair Marco Rubio. Of course. Marco, hey, he's my age. When he saw those towers fall, you know, he ran straight for office. He likes war. He likes to go to the Council on Foreign Relations and tell you how he's going to get over there. I mean, not him personally. There's phone parties to go to and, you know, things to have fun with. That's my generation, folks. There you go. Marco Rubio, the great warrior. Loves war. Loves to get us. You know, he was concerned about censorship. I remember this when they did the multi-pronged collusion. The real collusion was banning. They started with InfoWars, these, you know, all at once. It was August 6, 2018. And then following that is about 800 other sites simultaneously. And by the way, not all those sites were right wing, or not even the majority. They were all basically had one thing in common. They were skeptical of the military surveillance state, the government surveillance state. They were skeptical of war. They were skeptical of power. They weren't just mouthpieces for political parties or ideologies. They were, well, actual journalism. Had to get rid of those. I remember Marco Rubio's concern was, yeah, but we got to figure if Google is doing this, we need to look into their Operation Dragonfly, not because they're helping, not because they're spying on us or throttling free speech, but they're helping the Chinese to censor, and we don't really want that. Those are our companies to censor us. We were encouraged by today's strong bipartisan vote and look forward to working together to get this bill passed through the Senate and signed into law, the pair said in a statement. The two senators. Well, just like George Carlin said, whenever you have something that's bipartisan, that's when you know you're really getting screwed here, folks. You've got, I don't even know, look, we can start with the implications of the government has the power to just decide what companies it wants to dismantle or make somebody else, or make the large shareholders sell or whatever. You think TikTok? If the Chinese, you know, they talked about that Chinese spy balloon, and the Chinese don't need a balloon. I mean, I'm sure they can fly one, and they can do it with impunity if they want. They've got so many agents inside the government. I mean, look at Swalwell. His girlfriend was a Chinese spy. Come on. They have so much influence in our universities. It's massive. It's not the Russians, but the Chinese are an extension of large banking houses and multinational corporations. If you know the history of China, Mao was funded by the Rockefellers in 1949. It's the reason Chiang Kai-shek had to flee to Formosa, which is now Taiwan. But see, these teleprompter readers and people on the networks that get paid, Operation Mockingbird writ large, don't know what I just said. So there's just, oh, Fox News, we got, China. Yeah, China is a threat. And we've made it easy on them. You know, the George W. Bush gave China most favored nation trading status on December 11th, 2001, and opened it up to the WTO. And that soon after, we lost 55,000 factories and one in three manufacturing jobs. It's one of the reasons why the Bush administration back in the early 2000s, I know this is a lot, I'm going back way back in the history, but that's why they made fast food workers part of the manufacturing so they could cover up the numbers. They made literally sandwich builders into manufacturing numbers for the Bush administration. You can look it up, folks. We gave it to them. The keys to the kingdom were given away in this country by its elite. But now we're going to do something about TikTok. Pray tell, why is it? Is it because TikTok is stealing data like every other platform does, or monitoring you like every other platform does, or does it monitor you the way that they want it monitored? Or perhaps is it a little bit more free speech? Is it because some content creators can ask greater questions? I think that's the heart of the matter, isn't it? That's the rub. Is it because the content that can be created there? Is it because you can't exactly curate like Tim Cook from Apple wants to do? The two top senators on Senate Intel are now supporting the TikTok bill. This is a massive coup for lawmakers who want to ByteDance to divest its holdings in TikTok. Yeah, Thomas Massey's the only one standing up for this, and the lone guy. It's the best we can do. Thomas Massey took the floor to rail against the bill, saying, "There's only some of us who feel that intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information and don't need to be protected by the government from information." No, you don't have to protect me from a website. You know, folks, go back to the early 2000s. You can have whatever opinion you want on September 11th, 2001, and what that tracks back to. I have very strong opinions on that based on evidence, based on research, based on thought. But whatever your ideas on it are, the implications, the consequences of us immediately rushing to push through legislation after that for the Patriot Act and other things to surveil. By the way, the Patriot Act was never intended to stop terrorism. It's intended to monitor you. It's intended to increase the power of the state to bypass the Constitution, to bypass the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment. The entire Constitution, all the way, basically the Patriot Act subverts the Magna Carta. And that's not my idea. Gore Vidal said that. But why do we need that? If you think about it logically, and you weren't just internalizing all the fear with the network showing you all the images and all the questions asked, and there could be, there's terrorists everywhere. But nobody asked the question, hey, you know, did we need the Patriot Act to defeat Tojo's Japan, the Empire of the Sun? Did we need the Patriot Act, or do we need to subvert freedom? Do we have to take the Constitution and put it in a microwave and radiate it and dismantle it and disfigure it to defeat the Third Reich? Do we need the Patriot Act to outlast and bankrupt the mighty Soviet Empire? I got questions because, you know, I was part of the tip of the spear. I was supposed to go find all these people that supposedly attacked us on 9/11. They're very hard to find. You know, it turns out if you go to people's countries and you invade them, a lot of people try to kill you for that. That's called blowback. That's called natural. And that's what happens when you go places. Yeah, there's an enemy. You can create an enemy. And I always wondered, you know, all these people that were fighting over here, how do they get to my home? You know, to threaten me, because they can't, I mean, they threaten me over here, right? You're telling me if I don't fight them over here, I got to fight them over there, you know? But how do they get here? Like a bass boat or, oh, immigration. Well, they get immigration. So a bit. But then again, we're 20 years plus on. So where's that clash of civilizations? I got questions, but we needed to make sure that every bit of your freedom was put into a paper shredder and then set on fire. So ban TikTok too. These are dangerous things. And you got dangerous idiots in Washington, D.C. I mean, sans Thomas Massie. I don't know. We came all the way for this. All the years of struggle, all the generations, all the wars, the depressions, the uncertainty, the Cold War, all that. So Congress is priority, literally why we have an invasion, is to ban TikTok. The massive corruption. But we ban TikTok. You know, the money that they gave Ukraine, just on the surface level, that's not counting the money laundering and the weapons. You know, it's estimated you could have ended homelessness in the United States 8 times. But ban TikTok. What a joke. Regardless of what you think about what TikTok is, and I'm sure it has nefarious things, but go to another website, create a better website. See, that's the thing, is you really can't. They pick winners and losers now. The internet is not supposed to be what the government thinks it's supposed to. The internet is supposed to be. But, you know, what it tracks back to, it's the ARPANET. ARPA is DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project. You got ARPANET, I believe 1968. Hey, it's the same year that Stanley Kubrick came out with 2001 A Space Odyssey. Same year they started construction on the World Trade Center. I don't know. All these things fit together somehow. But you have the internet, which was a defense project. And now it's being curated at the top by Joe Biden, who, you know, an enemy to China. This is a dangerous precedent, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it looks like it's going to pass, thanks to the Republican Party. So, hey, all that voting you did, got out there and got that. It looks like we're keeping it red, all right. Keep that map red, communist red, because this is what nations that, you know, that don't care at all about freedom do to their citizens. Yeah, it's a sad world when I have to stand up for TikTok. I loathe most of this kind of social media stuff, especially the dancing nurses and 2020. It was garbage, okay? But this is more and more, we're watching every opportunity for us to have somewhere to post, to exchange ideas, being curated. All right, let's jump around to some financial news. And there is lots going on. I talked about this earlier on the David Knight Show, but we'll go over it again just a little bit more in detail. When you look at the historical trends, the massive amount of change that is on the horizon, it's mind-boggling. It can throw you off a little bit, even if you're prepared for it. I'm watching. I had no idea things were going to happen this quickly. Let's check out this article up on Kitco. Silver is surpassed by Bitcoin in market cap, but the gray metal has its long-awaited move. It's on the horizon. While Bitcoin's skyrocketing price is getting all the attention at the top cryptocurrency new time highs, it's also breached another level that should be significant to precious metals investors, as noted in a recent article. Hunt pointed out, this is the author, Eaton Hunt, pointed out that when BTC surged to 72,000, it also boosted the token's total market capitalization, making it the eighth largest financial asset in the world. As Bitcoin's market capitalization eclipses $1.4 trillion, it now surpasses established giants such as Meta, formerly Facebook, and silver, the world's second largest commodity. Both Bitcoin and gold have been making new highs concurrently since last week, and while silver has made solid gains, it lagged in the other two assets while coming close to challenging its own all-time highs, which enabled Bitcoin to usurp its spot. Well, silver will have an all-time high. I'm going to think that's pretty inevitable with the loss of purchasing power of the dollar. Even with the manipulation, folks, we're going to see silver going places and places it's never been before. You heard it here first, okay? I know you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. In 1980, it was $52.50 an ounce, okay? So that's like $300 today. So me, you know, saying, well, silver is going to break its all-time high in the foreseeable future, by the way, not investment advice. Don't buy silver from me or anywhere thinking you're going to make money. You're not really making money because you're just staving off the loss of purchasing power from your dollar. Yeah. The tide appears to be turning for the gray metal as strong move this week has seen bulls take silver spot right up to the edge of $25 per ounce on Wednesday. If Bitcoin sees a decent pullback, silver may be in a position to retake the eighth spot. But even if it does, with the ETF-induced bull market right now in cryptosphere, holding that position will be a tall order. So this next sentence I want to read, and there's plenty of room for everybody. If, you know, there's some Bitcoin maximalists, there's some gold people, there's silver bugs. Everybody says, where's the price going to go? Number go up, all that. But at the end of the day, there's room here in all commodities. All things outside of the fiat currency system have massive room. You got to, because there's going to be a dumping of currencies. I don't care if you're in the BRICS nations. I don't care if you're in the dollar. It does not matter. There's going to be a massive unleashing of liquidity into commodities, folks. And that's just a natural extension of the end game of Gresham's law. See, Gresham's law states that when bad money enters a system, good money goes into hiding. And to quote Robert Kiyosaki, when fake money enters a system, real money goes into hiding. And since 1971, the dollar is now the world's oldest living fiat currency. The average lifespan is 26 years. We've doubled it. But you're seeing a shift away from these currencies, and people are going into things like Bitcoin. It's a phenomenon. Now, the ETFs, and I'm an agnostic in some ways. I like that people are learning about what Bitcoin is. I like that people are learning about the concepts of having a decentralized electronic token that is finite, that you know, can't be manipulated, that can't be reproduced. I like that. I like that for people. But at the same time, I'm skeptical of what that means. You know, why are they pushing it? These same people that are fiat enthusiasts and their whole lifeblood is fake money. You know, people like Larry Fink, why are they pushing Bitcoin? I have questions there. You should too. But that's beside the point. The point is people, and look at the places like China, Shanghai, India, they're buying up gold. They're buying up gold, and that's the people, not just to mention the central banks that are breaking records, just continuing to get out of the dollar, continuing to get out of these currencies in general. But I want to read you this next. That's why people may say, well, Bitcoin is going to, I've heard this, it's going to eat gold. No, it's not. Not really. There might be a slight dip here and there, but we're on a long trend to where there's going to be, and I don't know where I get this, I might be going crazy. There's a great reset, folks. They're resetting everything. So when they reset stuff, it's like musical chairs. You want to get left holding the bag of the fake, or are you going to hold on to something real? That's where we're trending. And that could be, you know, some of these financial institutions. You know, even Jamie Dimon says there's going to be an economic superstorm. When have you ever heard a banker, when have you ever heard a bankster, like of that level, ever not cheerlead the economy? Something is up with that. But listen to this next sentence. Yet the ultimate prize remains gold, the quintessential store of value and a benchmark for financial stability, Hunt wrote. Surpassing gold, he's talking about Bitcoin. Surpassing gold would necessitate a monumental leap, with Bitcoin's price soaring to an unprecedented 700,000. Hunt said that while this level may appear outlandish, Bitcoin's track record speaks volumes, having surged more than 60% since the start of 2024 and 40% in the past 2 weeks alone. As Bitcoin continues to redefine the financial landscape, its ascent underscores the transformative potential of decentralized digital assets. Gold and silver bugs, for their part, are banking on the precious metal's track record of stability during tough times and outperformance once interest rates begin to fall. Well, there's room. There's room for both. It's not a competition, really, between Bitcoin and silver and gold. You're talking about massive amounts, trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars looking for a house, looking for a home. That's what these things are. It's multifaceted. There's many choices. You can diversify. You know, Bitcoin should be part of your holdings, if you know what it is. Gold should be. Silver should be. Land should be, your own business should be, something of value. But you look at the stock market and you look at Wall Street and you look at, well, if you know what environmental social governance is and you know what ESG is, you should be asking the question, is there value here? With these companies that don't even make a profit? That is a natural extension of the fake money system. It's a natural extension of fiat. It's fake. Buildings that exist that shouldn't, and celebrities that are famous that shouldn't be. Music, they push music on you that's not even good. because they control the process of who listens to what, right? By the curation of the platforms. That wouldn't happen if you had accountability in some way. But you will eventually, because all of that comes to an end, right? There's the end game, whether it's Gresham's Law or whether it's Triffin's Dilemma, which I've talked about many. Robert Triffin's Dilemma. What happens when, you know, the quadrillions of dollars that have been created to house these into keep liquidity in these central banks around the world? What happens when they come home? Well, you have a massive crash of that current system. All right, I'm going to go to the Rockfin chat. We're about a little over halfway into the show. I want to just say I appreciate everybody who's joining us. I picked a new time to go live on Thursdays. I thought it'd be great, you know, following David Knight, let the audience know I'll be over here. You can come find me on the Rockfin channel and the America Unplugged, ROKFIN.com, America Unplugged channel, on my Twitter, which is at Tony Arterburn, and freeworld.fm. We're live 11 a.m. Central Time on Thursdays. So come and see us over there. And I've got to shout out my listeners over on 9:30 a.m. The Answer in San Antonio. This is my first show that they'll be hearing in quite a while. I wanted to say hi to the chat. Jason Barker says, good morning, Tony. It's good to see you, Jason. Thank you for all your help over on Free World, too. Nancy Chambers, hi, Tony and Jason. Yeah, I got to get, we'll see if we can get Beans on here before I close out. Patrick S., Birdhouse Blues, good to see you. John Henry, 3777. Appreciate all you guys joining. I need to check. There's Gar Goldsmith and Rhonda Tate, too. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I really appreciate it. We'll build this time slot up a bit. And Jason Barker says, Tony, do you have some Wise Wolf gear at the shop? I have to go to Springfield next month and I want to get a hat. Yes, I do. Come on down. I've got Wolfpack gear. I've got Wise Wolf gear. We just haven't been able to take the time to put it up on the website yet. So that's been my life. I have to pick and choose what things I can work on. Christopher Mincy is also on the chat. Thanks for joining. If I didn't call you out, it's my fault. But we'll definitely build this time slot into something. And be sure and follow the podcast channels anywhere the podcasts are found. Arterburn Radio Transmission, Paratruther always helps. The Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show will be live. A new episode coming up next week. I will announce the day on that very soon when we're going to do that. It'll be at the same time slot. We got some great stuff coming up. All right. I want to stay into, look, my wheelhouse is what is happening financially. I want to stay in the finance stuff. We got a little bit of time left, but guys, let me pull this up. This is a headline of Drudge. And I was going through the links, you know, the curation links, seeing what the intelligence community wants me to talk about. But let's collectively, I haven't clicked on it, but just a little bit of history. Let's collectively click on this link here for a second and just enjoy this for a moment as the strangeness and part of 2024, weird synchronicities. And I've got questions, but let's check this out together. Let's look at Drudge, and then we'll click through the link. So here's Drudge, right? And first of all, you see stuff like Dallas-Fort Worth leads all metro areas in population growth. Please don't. I'm up here in North Texas. I'm in Denison right now. Thank God. One of the last little places. I got my last little piece of Texas here in downtown Denison and my old house. Built in the 40s, me and Beans. Beans is getting a fence built right now so she can keep us safe and do her patrols without me worrying about her getting in the road. If you hear banging and stuff going on outside, Beans is getting a fence. But let's go down. Here's the link. I'm going to click on this. We're going to do this together, and I've not ever looked at the story, but this is the Titanic replica plans are resurrected and it could sail in 2027. So here's click the link. Let's see this story. This is from the Telegraph. Titanic replica plans resurrected. Could be ready by 2027. It was an ambitious scheme that seems to have sunk without a trace. But in a presentation this week, Australian mining tycoon Clive Palmer revived the idea of building Titanic 2, a replica of the doomed liner. Well, you know, that reminded me, I don't know, maybe should we get a Kickstarter going? I want to do the Hindenburg. Can we do the Hindenburg? Not many people talk enough about this, getting that hydrogen, you know, the Zeppelins going in. First of all, there's lots of, we can go into the history of the Hindenburg, and my friend James Perloff wrote about that in his book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. Could have been a false flag. There's all sorts of weirdness in that. 1936, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Lakehurst, New Jersey. So, you know, you get, oh, the humanity, all that stuff. It was a terrible, terrible thing. You know, that's probably one of the reasons you don't see Zeppelins around. It could have been an inside job because those seem to be pretty practical. But what are we doing? I mean, what is happening? What is the obsession with the Titanic? The only thing I can think of that it just this perpetual thing that keeps being brought back up, not just in popular culture and the movies, like in 97 with the movie, but going back before that and like all the interest in it, it's 1912. And you had all these people that opposed the Federal Reserve that were on the boat, like the Mellons and others. They opposed the Federal Reserve. J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic. At the last minute, he pulled out. So it's like, what was it? Is it kept alive as some sort? Is this some sort of occultic thing that it has energy to it and they revive it because it was a sacrifice? I do not know. There's so many weird things with the Titanic. But I saw that this morning and I thought, you know, some things are better left in the past. Do you really want to do this? Is this what we've done with our wealth? I don't know this guy, what his thinking is, but it's just crazy. I mean, it's a sign of the, this is so 2024. The project has a long history, having first surfaced in 2012, a century after the original struck an iceberg. But despite Palmer's bluster then in a London press conference 11 years ago, BS was his response to claims that it was all a hoax. Now the billionaire has penciled in 2027 for the launch. Well, all I can say is that if you oppose the central bank digital currency, don't get on the new Titanic. If you oppose CBDC, if you are part of the political elite, don't get on the Titanic. And I'm not, you know, if somebody wants to get a Kickstarter campaign, maybe we can do some grassroots stuff. Somebody get a GoFundMe together. We'll get the Hindenburg back up, which probably will be more useful. I mean, we need to do a show on that. Maybe do a paratrooper on where did the Zeppelins go? I mean, it was like this massive techno. We were going, you should see the cross-Atlantic travels that the Hindenburg had made. And it was really efficient. And you could travel in luxury, and it wasn't, the turbulence wasn't as bad. You're not like hurling through. Now they got we make these multi-billion dollar contracts and these planes with the doors flying off and, you know, having these drops, the new Boeings. It's hard to even want to fly anymore. And I just do it because I'm probably going to, and I'm going to roll the dice. And that's just where I am in my mentality. But don't think I don't think about it, especially when you have the inclusivity, you know, diversity hires and stuff with people like, oh, we got the first, you know, fill in the blank. Well, I'm like, did you get the best though? Oh, no, we didn't get the best at all. These are the new engineers that we have. Yeah, that's. These are the new pilots that we have. They're the first, not the best. So used to we get the best, And that was the part of the meritocracy that was built. It's what made America seemingly unstoppable. But those days are long past because we went for the first and not the best. We do that in our elections. We do that in our politics. It'll be the first. Is it the best? Oh, no. But it's the first. All right. Well, let's close out with some. I looked at some tweets earlier. We'll get to that. Robert Kiyosaki had some interesting things to say. Always. I want to talk about. I want to talk about war a little bit. I think there's been some relaxing in the posture of in our political sphere as to what is what is a threat to us as far as us going to war. You see, there's a lot of cooling, it seems, in Ukraine. There's been some cooling, it seems, in the Middle East with some of that, with the Houthis and with the Israelis. And yeah, they're still running their campaign on Gaza and all that stuff, but there's been some tamp down of that. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, none of that stuff's really calmed down. And I'm going to go to an article I found on Kitco. I think this is pretty much right on par for how I'm thinking. Because you got to look at you look at the headlines on the finances, and you see that we've got $1 trillion in debt being added every 90 days. Okay. Every 90 days, we're going to add the debt. But at the same time, you have to look at the loss of purchasing power of the dollar, the loss of money velocity of the dollar, the BRICS nations, new payment systems, loss of influence, waning American empire, 800 bases in 150 countries or whatever it is. It's pretty damn close to that. I think it's 732 bases in 150 countries, something like that. But we've added bases since that. That was a metric in 2008. So I'm pretty sure it's more bases now. But let's look at this headline from Kitco. And this is where my mind goes. Because I think, how do they get themselves out of this? How do the ruling elite, how does the military-industrial complex, how does it get itself out of the current predicament? Is it just going to go straight down to the bottom? Is it just going to lose the world's reserve currency status? Is it going to go quietly into the good night like the Soviet Union did? Are they going to get, can you imagine Joe Biden just getting on there and on Christmas Day, like Gorbachev did, and giving up the ghost and saying that the American empire is now receding back into its original borders and we're giving up our bases in Europe and giving up our bases in Japan and the South Pacific and the Middle East, that we're pulling the fleet back to protect our borders and we're going to repurpose our economy to be in production mode? And you really think that's going to happen? Like kind of a Smedley Butler type defense posture? No, that's not how they'll do it. That's the reason why the Pentagon ran a simulation some years back on what would happen if Gen Z revolted and only used Bitcoin. The Pentagon. They have an interest in that. They have an interest in what currency you use. Did you know that? Let's look at this story. We are going to war. This is what the charts are saying. What's next for gold and Bitcoin after record highs? This is from Gary Cardone. Kitco News. Investors are in a fake market based on a monopoly game, which is why gold and Bitcoin are hitting record highs at the same time, according to Gary Cardone, CEO and founder of Cardone Digital Ventures. I think we're going to war. You look at all the charts on everything. They look like war charts to me. We have a fake market. We just have to admit this is a fake market. It's a monopoly game. You can say we're not releasing funds into the world, but we are indeed releasing large amounts of money. We're producing fiat. Cardone noted that the situation is dire, with the U.S. losing its ability to control the world, which is dangerous from a geopolitical perspective. This is a global market now, and people are going to print to survive, and they're going to take other actions to survive. Wars equal money printing. Cardone pointed out the U.S. is already at war, and that equates to more money printing despite all the rate hikes by the Federal Reserve. It's happening in at least four countries I know of. We're at war. It's machinery, equipment, and that is printing, he stated. This is a Ponzi scheme. It's just shuffling nuts so that senators and congressmen don't have to say, we actually just created $1 trillion worth of money supply because we made a commitment to give Germany some new tanks. We're just moving things around on the chessboard. That is why gold and silver and Bitcoin were established. Cardone, who has Bitcoin as his second largest position, revealed that he continues to buy the cryptocurrency at these record highs. Well, I'm buying it too. Because this is historic. This is a new thing, right? When I was on the David Knight Show earlier, I talked about, you know, I'm skeptical of everything they're doing with these ETFs and Bitcoin and these massive highs and cryptos. I mean, it's hot right now, right? It's it's like Hansel, right? You know, on Zoolander. It's real hot, but it's been this, I've seen this before. I've been through these cycles before, but there's something interesting about it now. I mean, it's just, there is a number go up mentality, right? It's going to always go up. It's always going to go to the right. But I think that's where all the energy is and all the things, all the new innovation. So I, on one hand, I'm totally for it because I think we need more innovation and, you know, again, I think that's history happening. But we also have to look at the fact that the old system, the fiat currency system, Wall Street itself, all that, the generational wealth through the banking houses and the establishment, that system that they've created, the post, you know, Bretton Woods system from 1944 on, is coming to an end. So what now? How long can they prop it up? Right, this is the open question that I have. It's what I want to bring to your attention. It's not about, you know, whether or not gold will reach a new all-time high or whether silver will be denominated more in dollars. This is a complete change of the entire global financial system. And people are looking for a way out. This is only the beginning. This is the tip of an historical shift like we've never seen before. And it starts with finances. And I know that I harp on this because it's my wheelhouse. I stay in this zone because I have to remind myself because it's not normal. Right? The genie is not going to go back into the bottle either. It's important for us to realize that. Let's read a little bit more in this article. What happens if the U.S. doesn't have an election? And that's a real possibility, isn't it? You know, you could have a false flag. Oh, my goodness. When's the last time they've done those? It's so funny. The calls are always coming from inside the House, aren't they? Even if they're not, right? They're the people that are supposed to protect us don't. Back in December, Cardone appeared on Kitco to warn that a black swan event could derail the U.S. election. I am not convinced we will have an election because of the very fact that how bizarre it's getting to be, he said. I think we're at a civil war in the United States right at this moment. Well, definitely the powers that be would love that. They'd love for you to be at war with your neighbor over these perceived differences, over these perceived, you know, candidates that are for you. I mean, yeah, I even meet with my family and people, you know, it's hard because I'm like, well, you know, you might want to listen to what I have to say. I have some of the smartest researchers in the country on my phone, and I'm not bragging. I deal with them. You know, they're on my shows or I'm on their shows. And these are people that are really plugged in. Real human beings, not bots. They're not AI. They're not shills for the establishment. They're not hawking their wares for Orange Man. These are people that are really tuned in. And by the way, I wish I could. I wish I could. I'd make more money. Beans could have had a fence already. But I can't, because my analysis always leads me back to this is rigged. All right. These candidates are rigged. These two parties are rigged. It's a duopoly. It's a control system. And they're funded by the same people. I mean, just look at the vote on the TikTok things, folks. I mean, that's, if you want a litmus test, you want to see where we actually, you're doing a stress test on freedom in the United States. Take a look at that. Just really, really ask yourself why you would be for a ban. If the people aren't for a ban, what is the deal with Congress? Well, the Congress just does what it wants. And it's what it wants is whatever its handlers say to do. You understand? That's pretty much it. And if you don't go along with it, like my friend Ralph Hall, who voted against the NDAA, I was running against him at the time. And when he voted against that, I went, well, holy hell. He was one of the only Republicans to vote against the National Defense Authorization Act. And I found out later it's because of the unanswered questions by the Justice Department, whether or not they drone an American. They never answered it. Rand Paul asked it. You see, you're not supposed to have any courage there. You're just supposed to go along. You go along to get along. And it's not like the days of Sam Rayburn. If you've ever been to the Sam Rayburn Library, you can go in there and you can look into his life. And I think when he died, he had $15,000. This guy was third in line for the presidency at one time. He would only allow you to donate a total of, I want to say it was like $200. He wouldn't allow you to do any more than that. And that's his, it was cap. And he had, again, they don't make people like that anymore. Now these, it takes millions to run for Congress. And what's that for? Cui bono, who benefits? All right, let's read some tweets and then get you guys out of here. Oh, by the way, this headline on Reason Magazine was fun. I talked to David about that too. The White House claims borrowing $16 trillion over the next decade is fiscally responsible. It's like I live in a perpetual advertisement for my business, because everything that the powers that be do are antithetical to you actually having any wealth. It's, you know, I said this in Anarchapoco. I said there's a reason why they have a national ad campaign for you to save money. And you know what it's called? It's called feed the pig. You feed the pig, you know, when you save fiat currency. And it's sad because, you know, you think about teaching kids about money and, you know, put away a little bit for a rainy day. That is true. If you have sound money, then that all makes sense. But when you tell people and you tell normal people to hoard that money supply, the elites love that. They want you saving dollars. They like that. They like you spending dollars, saving dollars, using dollars. If I told you that the elites traffic in debt, not money, right? They buy assets and they borrow against them, because debt is what? Well, it's, first of all, it's money, it's currency creation when you borrow, but it's tax-free. If you borrow, it's tax-free. And that's what they just do. That's a musical chairs, like to borrow against the assets. And then, you know, you're out there making those assets more valuable. It's a rigged game. They don't want you knowing about actual value, because then it would have a harder time. They would have a harder time dominating. All right, folks. Well, we're getting near the end of the show. I appreciate each and every one of you. Always a massive honor to come on here and do these shows. We Arterburn Radio transmission once a week, live here on Thursdays on the America Unplugged channel, on Rockfin, on my Twitter at Tony Arterburn, and I'll be adding some new channels soon. Of course, Free World. .fm. Go over and check Free World out. We've got so many new guests and hosts going to be broadcasting there. Some announcements coming soon. We got a great team. We've been assembling a dream team of people to work on it, just the software stuff, you know, but it's a free speech lifeboat. And we're going to, more than ever, we need that so we can actually discuss ideas, you know, like we were intended to be able to do here in this country. So much going on at Wise Wolf and Wolfpack, as I mentioned earlier, we've got the, you know, our monthly membership program starts at as low as $50 a month. We even have one for kids called Wolf Cub. You can also do the direct buys. If you're just, if you've got 50 bucks and you don't want to, well, I don't know if I'm going to have 50 bucks next month, but I'd like to, you know, get the most bang for my buck on precious metals, go buy a one-time Lone Wolf. You can buy a one-time Lone Wolf package. We'll send it out within a couple of days, usually of getting a credit card, or you can use PayPal, and we'll send you our curated list of metals. So, I mean, it could be some gold backs, could be some fractional silver. I think this last time we put in a Second Amendment round. Those are really cool. So 1 ounce of silver. And so, you know, you can do one time of any of them, or you can join the club, get it recurring, do some dollar cost averaging, all that good stuff. So go to wolfpack.gold. Great system. We're working on it, and wonderful member base. The more people to join, the better off everyone is. And I want to say too, we have some announcements coming up very soon. I'll probably announce here in the next week or two something really great with wolfpack.gold and Wise Wolf. Use the promo code 1776 for free silver as well. Okay, so for myself and the crew and Beans the Brave here from Texas, I appreciate all of you tuning in. We'll see you next week. Okay, take care of each other. End of transmission.
Life is a continuous confrontation with forks in the road. One is good, one is bad. And you could always wander completely off the road altogether and become lost. Totally and completely lost. If you take the wrong fork at one of these junctions, there is always the opportunity at the next fork to get back on track. But it is a constant battle within ourselves. You see, I have studied this concept for many, many years, and I have to tell you that if there is a real devil, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Now, I'm not telling you that there's no such thing as Satan or Lucifer. I'm telling you this. If there really is a devil, that devil exists in the hearts and minds of men and nowhere else. Nowhere else. For if you take man out of the equation, evil ceases to exist. And there is left only the laws of the universe and the balance of nature. Put man in the equation, and before long, evil will rear its ugly head and present itself to the world. The evil is within man, and that is why it was called the fall. The devil never made anyone do it. If you do it, you did it yourself because you fell into temptation. For until man once again confronts the real nature of his own condition and of the world around him and accepts full responsibility for his actions without blaming anyone else or any devil, until then we will always be a puppet on the end of someone else's string. And ladies and gentlemen, when that someone pulls that string, we will dance.